All right, great to have you back with us. A good weekend of baseball here, and of course with the All-Star game coming up on Tuesday. A lot to look forward to. Then it's the second half, and the Giants are going to be in first place when they meet the Cardinals to start that second half a week from yesterday, Friday, in St. Louis. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Great, Marty. How's it going?
Pretty good. Last night was really a good baseball game. I mean, it had everything. You know, as I said, we had the walks, had the strikeouts, and three home runs for the Giants, and they all were big home runs. Casale, two-run shot, Ruff hit it up to Galarraga territory, and Flores opened up the lead 5-3. But there was baseball going on. Crawford plays at the plate. It was that to me is what I took away from last night.
Yeah, it was a terrific game, and I think it helped their cause wearing those uniforms that have caused so much consternation. Which I didn't. They weren't quite as bad watching the game as I thought. Looking at the photos, but it's still a big shock. And if you win in those uniforms, of course they become legendary, right? And that was a very good win. I mean, Washington is so good. They keep coming at you. It's a great lineup. The game, they really did have everything. I mean, Logan Webb. I guess they took him out real early out of precaution, but that pitch he threw to Soto in the first inning, that exploding sinker away, that you can't hit that ball. He struck out the side. And they got some nice relief work from Garcia and Leon for sure. And, you know, right, Flores and Ruff both homered off right-handed pitchers, which is always a good thing to see. And, of course, Crawford, I mean, good Lord. I'm surprised they didn't call up the Joe Panic to Crawford double play in the 2014 World Series when Panic was the guy diving and dishing it out of his glove. Maybe because it was network footage, you know, Fox, and it's not in their library, but it was reminiscent of that. But Crawford is just he's having such a good season. It's unbelievable. So really, it's just a great good show all around.
Yeah, you know, Crawford's got to be up there in the MVP, not only of this team.
He does.
I think that's clear. But right, Bruce, for the whole league, why not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing about it is that San Diego has a really good thing going right now. The crowd's going nuts. They're getting all these improbable wins. And their guy is Tatis, you know. So, I mean, he's going to be right there. You got these two shortstops. Probably as good a candidates as any. I never include pitchers in the MVP. They've got their own thing, but with the Cy Young. But Tatis is a formidable entry in that. But Crawford is absolutely worthy of heavy MVP consideration.
Well, I think if you had to look at it right now, I'd say it's Tatis and Crawford because I can't even name anybody on the Brewers having a big offensive year. Anybody on the Mets really having a big offensive year? Not really. They're getting some injured players back. Lindor's been awful. The Dodgers.
The Reds have a bunch of guys that kind of cancel themselves out. You know, Suarez and Castellano and Winker. And I don't think any one of those guys is going to rise above the others.
No, and they're not going to win.
Right.
That's the problem. Their bullpen is killing them. And then for the Dodgers, I mean, other than Turner, where do you go in the Dodgers, really? So, crazy as it sounds, it could be Crawford and Tatis, truthfully.
I love it. That's classic.
Boy. So, the uniforms, for me, it reminded me of the Good Humor Man. He used to come around in Brooklyn, ring the bell in the truck, you know, and you'd come out and get ice cream.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. And then the other thing baseball is marketing is the hat that's all mixed up. Have you seen this?
Not the one John Miller was wearing, the orange hat. Is something more complicated?
Oh, yeah, no. This is like it'll say athletics, but the A will be upside down and the H will be backwards. And
oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm rushing out to get that one.
No, that's the latest one that they're doing. So the other, look, Ohtani, we talk about him, and again, we haven't seen him do it against the Giants. You know what I mean?
I know. It's amazing.
But, look, last night he went upper deck. I don't even know. I think he went into the clouds last night, into the fog in Seattle. Long home run, number 33. And no American League hitter ever has hit like 16 home runs in 21 games, ever. And he did it.
This had to be what it was like when Babe Ruth, when they juiced up the ball and Babe Ruth started making his name, because he was so far above the rest. If you look at his home run numbers early on, for quite a while, really, he's just obliterating the home run field, and he was hitting these towering drives, left-handed hitter, and people were just in awe of him. And now this, I mean, you've got big league hitters, guys like Mike Trout, great players that are just in awe of this guy, and they're talking about what's going to happen in the home run hitting contest in Colorado. It's kind of like batting practice, and Ohtani has become a true legend in batting practice. Some are saying he's going to hit one like completely to all the way to downtown Denver, because there's just like there's like no limit for this guy. It's so impressive, and it's so great that he's going to pitch and hit in that game, because the legend grows.
It's unbelievable. The ball in the home run derby contest is made by Titleist. That will be. That's what they're going to. Really?
Yeah, the Kerry Middlecoff model. Yeah.
They're talking 500 foot home runs. It's going to. You're talking Tony Lima. How about that?
Champagne Tony.
Champagne Tony. See, Bruce was starting to think alike. I told you this last week.
It's kind of scary.
It is scary. Well, that's Ohtani. Now, the Giants, they didn't get another all-star. The only one who'll be playing is Crawford. Posey is out. Gausman's going to pitch tomorrow. No DeSclafani. And I see the names, of the players who are going. And there's Buehler and Freddie Peralta and Scherzer and Taijuan Walker. But, boy, I actually think DeSclafani got overlooked. I really do. I would have him in that mix.
Yeah, exactly, especially because, Gausman can't pitch, and the Giants' rotation is one of the big stories in either league.
It's the best.
It's a story. Yeah. But people just aren't used to saying his name. I'm sure some of them can't even pronounce it yet. And it's not like, oh, well, sure, Scherzer or Buehler, of course, but, if Peralta's going to get his name in there, I mean, DeSclafani definitely should be recognized. We know that here, and, I'm sure he's just happy to be a really solid starter again in his career. But yeah, I agree. He would look very in place in that game.
Well, he's never won double digits, so he has a shot at doing that here. And I know you said the Washington team, and Bruce, they do. They come at you, and they don't stop. And they're really a very tenacious team. Giants are a little better, but boy, the Giants are going to be in that bullpen with Lester and the guy tomorrow. And the Giants just don't chase, Bruce. They don't. In the first inning, you can count on 30 pitches from the opposition in the first inning.
That's amazing. It's really, really impressive. They've got their approach, and we've talked about this a lot. At times when they come up against a really good guy who's not gonna go 3-1 on you, they'll get a little more hurry up in their approach. But generally, they're wearing guys out, and it's very sound, because there's so many teams. When you get into their bullpen, and the Dodgers among them, despite what Kenley Jansen is doing recently, you've got a big chance of coming back to win or building on your lead once you get to that bullpen for so many teams.
Did you see the home run that Camarena hit the other night?
Oh, my God.
He's the relief pitcher for San Diego. They're losing 8-2 at that point to Scherzer. It's the fourth inning. And the pitcher spot comes up. He's a reliever, Daniel Camarena. And he's from down there. And they let him hit, and I understand why. You talk about a bullpen. The Padres, Bruce, their starting pitcher doesn't give you five innings ever. So their bullpen's getting killed. So they leave him in, and Scherzer throws a pitch to a left-handed hitter, right
blown
down
in.
At the knees inside, and the guy hit a slam. How about that?
Yeah, I'm watching at home, and my wife Martha goes, "That's a pitcher." I go, "Well, no, it isn't. You see that swing? That guy looks like a hitter. Because I've never heard of the guy. Who has? Then you realize that was a relief pitcher. His family's going crazy. I'm telling you, San Diego's really, the Giants have something going. They really got something going in San Diego too. And when the Giants go down there, I'm not sure when they're next in San Diego. It's going to be different. It's not going to be a big Giants crowd because they've got a team. They've got one of the most exciting teams in baseball, just no question asked. I mean, easily one of the most entertaining, and they're doing all these crazy things like coming back 8-0 against Scherzer and And it's fun. It's delightful to have them in the mix.
I love it. The Giants play the Padres 10 times from the middle of September to the end of the season.
No, there you go. That'll be phenomenal. Perfect.
And I think the last three, if I'm not mistaken, are here in San Francisco. But I will say this about the Padres, and you brought this up about Bauer today and Kershaw, Dodgers lacking some starting pitching. The Padres don't, if it's Darvish, he's got a bad back now. Musgrove, 5 innings, and he's gone. Snell has got gastroenteritis. Paddock is, back in the paddock again. And Weathers, they've overused them. They don't have starting pitching. It's unbelievable, but they need a pitcher or two.
That is. As they had it lined up so good in the at the start of the season, they figured they wouldn't even miss Clevinger, who's out for so long. This is going to be one of the great rotations, and it hasn't worked out that way. And of course, the Dodgers too. Their rotation is a bit in tatters right now. Just in rotation wise, the Giants have a big edge in this 3-team race.
Well,
Right now.
Well, I agree. And look, we've got a long 2.5 months coming up, and the Padres have the easiest schedule. Eno Saris said it. And the Giants and Dodgers have a tougher schedule, and we know that. But when you look at the wins, you've got 8 for Gausman, 9 for DeSclafani. That's 17. Wood is, 7? I think that's 24, and Cueto's about 6. That's 30 wins right now out of 4 guys in the rotation. And I think that is the story of the Giants. They're just never down 6-2 or 7-1. They're always in the game. And if you ask me what's the story of the first half, I still say it's the rotation.
Well, yeah, no doubt. And if what we saw from Webb is what we're going to get the rest of the season, instead of the sort of an off and on and the arm's not quite sound, and because his stuff, for all he's been through, he came out last night with phenomenal stuff. I mean, just all world stuff. So, yeah, I can't wait till his next start, because if that's going to be what we get from him, that's the Giants are really going to be in good shape.
Yeah, he is the fifth starter, and we'll see where it ends up. But as Bill pointed out, and you know, when you get a shoulder, it's different than the forearm and the elbow and all that kind of stuff. There's so many muscles in there, you don't know. But the pitch he threw to Soto, he said was the best pitch he's ever thrown in his life. And
it was a
pitch that was coming into Soto and then made a right turn that for about 2 feet.
Insane! It was unbelievable. I mean,
it couldn't be
hit by anyone, especially because it looked like it was going to hit him maybe at the start.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was something. Hey, the Cardinals were in town, and I just wanted to bring up Arenado. Bruce, is this Hall of Famer? Do you think Arenado when all said and done?
100% for me. I mean, I always go by how they strike you at the time, year after year. How they measure up against their contemporaries, and it didn't take too many years, at least in my view, that this guy was on the path. And now there's no question his defense is completely off the charts. I mean, with all the great third basemen, you know the A's have Matt Chapman, and they're all over the place really. But he's absolutely a cut above, and he's a hell of a hitter. He's a clutch hitter. Maybe his stats, his stats get a little skewered from home and away in Colorado, but we've seen him here in San Francisco, which is a fair park to say the least. Just doing everything it takes to win. He's such a winning player. He's a reason why, to me, along with Goldschmidt to a degree, he's the reason why the Cardinals are not going to be in fourth when it's over. Mm-hmm. They've got between those two guys and Molina and Wainwright, there's just too much character in that. In that clubhouse. And Arenado, boy, what a find. Hall of Famer for me, right, as we look at it right now.
Yeah, he showed me something, and he always does for some reason. I just want to say, let me see it again, And he did it. He really did it. He just controls the plate.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals just can't throw strikes. That bullpen, they just walk you constantly, and that's killing them. That's the problem with the Cardinals right now.
I think they'll make some changes there, and we'll see how it goes. Reyes, for sure, has been great, but they need a little more than that.
Okay. One last thing here, just sort of on the lighter side. Did you see Joe Pepitone is suing the Hall of Fame But,
my God.
Did you see Mickey Mantle?
I don't know that story.
Yeah, it was in today. Mickey Mantle used Pepitone's bat to hit his 500th home run.
Right,
and
right.
That bat then ended up at the Hall of Fame, and I guess the Yankees sent it there with the, according to Pepitone, with the proviso that it's Pepitone's bat and it's on loan and he can have it back whenever he wants it.
Uh-huh.
Well, he wants it. And the Hall of Fame told him, I don't think so.
Wow.
It was given to us, and good luck. And I don't think there's anything in writing, and everyone who is connected to it is dead now. So who knows?
Well, yeah,
this is...
they've had a lot of changes in the hierarchy at the Hall of Fame. My first thought is, you know, don't sue the Hall of Fame. Just like that's one of the rules of life. Like, don't set fire to your house. That's what, you know, that's a hard and fast rule. Don't sue the Hall of Fame. But if they told him he could have it back, you know, for heaven's sake, I mean, is it that special? I mean, I don't know. I'm sympathetic to him, but at the same time, you know, you wouldn't like to have it in writing, and I'm sure they'll spend a lot of ludicrous time in court over this.
Yeah, all the parties to the transaction are now deceased, except for him.
Yeah. So, he'll be
boy.
The judge and the jury and the court stenographer.
Good one. Hey, and we'll bring Bill in on this one. In baseball history, 2009, Jonathan Sanchez, no-hitter.
Yeah.
How about that? The first since the count. Bill, I'll start with you. Bill, remember Jonathan Sanchez?
Oh, I sure do, and I remember his dad. That was his first game he saw him pitch in the big leagues, and I thought the excitement when he brought him down in the dugout, Amy G was interviewing him. I thought it was just electric. Yeah, the fans were going crazy, and, of course, the first no-hitter in the longest time for the Giants.
Since the count in 1976, Montefusco. Mm-hmm. But it was so improbable. He had never pitched a complete game in his career. He'd been taken out of the rotation a couple weeks earlier. He was like 2-8, and you know, he was having a terrible, terrible season. And all of a sudden, he comes out and does this: 11 strikeouts, no walks. He was only starting that game because Randy Johnson had a bad shoulder. Eli Whiteside, of all people, was catching because Benji Molina had gone in the hospital. His wife was in labor, and outside of an error by Juan Uribe, he was flirting with a perfect game there. So that's a terrific thing. You know what? At the mention of Sanchez, I'll always remember him also for Game 6 of the of the 2010 NLCS. This is one of the greatest and most dramatic wins in the history of the Giants, and he was not a very relevant. He was relevant in the sense that. He was down 2-0 early, and he hits Utley, and there's a big commotion, and almost a fight breaks out, and he's done, and they bring Affeld in, and everything changes, and that was easily one of the most memorable and important wins in the history of the Giants, and he did start it, so he can say that, but what an amazing thing that his dad was there for the no-hitter. Mm-hmm. Remember, we learned that Jonathan Sanchez's brother said, you know, Dad, you gotta go see him pitch. And I looked, there's a great, Henry Shulman wrote a great lead in that game story. As long as bats and balls connect on warm summer evenings, baseball never will cease to amaze.
That's a Bob Stevens. That's a good one. That's
yeah.
Henry hit it
and
well.
I wanted to ask both of you guys a concern of mine, and maybe it'll be both of yours, is Buster Posey's thumb. I think about it from a pitcher's standpoint of all the sinkers and all the movement that he catches. And you saw how he threw that glove off when that foul tip hit the tip of his thumb. And, of course, it's bruised, not broken. You know, is it a concern? You know, for me it is, because even if you get 5, 6, 7 days off, anything can happen. You can have thumb guards on. Most catchers put thumb guards on. But gripping a bat, throwing, catching, I just think it's more of a concern in my eyes. I want to hear both your thoughts.
No, I couldn't agree more, especially because it's just so vulnerable. You know, when he thinks maybe everything's going good, boom, he catches a ball. It hits him just wrong, and the pain comes back, and he's out a few more days. And absolutely hitting-wise, you know, if your hands don't feel strong when you're hitting, that's obviously, you know, a huge handicap. You just don't feel capable of doing what you would like to do. So it's potentially very troublesome, you know, but he's – he's Buster Posey. He's a guy that the fans believe in, and you know, you elect it to have a happy ending, which is very possible. But I agree, Bill. It's something that could be lingering.
Well, as long as the X-rays show no fracture, but you got ligaments in there and all sorts of other things that could be a problem. We haven't heard that being cleared yet. And I realized that, I think, Tuesday night when Trump hit, and I said, "This is if Posey's alive and breathing and if he could swing a bat, put him in right now." And Trump popped up, and, you know, that was the key out that didn't get the runner in from third in the Cardinal game. So then I realized there's something up with him. So we'll see. Look, the story of this team is the depth. You know, Belt goes out and you bring in Babe Ruff and, you know, Lamont Wade, who's, you know, the new Mark Grace. And, you know, this is what this ball club has done with Casale. All of a sudden you can't get Casale. Not only is he getting singles, he's hitting doubles and triples and home runs and big time. So they've got the depth. I think the depth is the key for me right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, this is a great, such an interesting series because Washington is, you know, so good. And if they sweep this series, first of all, they'll probably wear those uniforms every night the rest of the season. But what a way to, you know, storm into the All-Star break.
Yeah, they'll be in first place. All right. All-Star break. And we've got this weekend to talk about it, Bruce. And, you know, on this day in baseball history, one of the famous ones is a Carl Hubble. The meal ticket of the Giants in 1934. It's the second All-Star game. It's in the Polo Grounds on July the 10th. And he gives up a single and a walk to Charlie Gehringer and Heinie Manouche. And all of a sudden, here comes Ruth and Gehrig and Fox and Simmons and Cronin. And Carl Hubble strikes them all out. And the five in a row, and that event of 1934 has lived on completely right to today.
Yeah, I mean, that's like striking out, you know, Mays, Aaron, Clemente, Mantle, and Killebrew. I mean, you look up those guys, those are five of the all-time great players, without a doubt. And he did it. He did it with the screwball.
Mm-hmm.
He threw so many screwballs that his left hand was sort of permanently tilted inward. His hand reached out like he's throwing another pitch that's you know, it's like a reverse curveball. And you know, that he struggled. He was trying to sell that pitch to. He broke in with the Tigers, Marty, as I'm sure you know. And Ty Cobb was the player manager, and Ty Cobb said, "Don't throw that pitch. Too many guys had been hurt throwing that pitch." Even though Christy Mathewson had thrown that pitch and was one of the greatest of all time, but so he didn't throw that pitch for 2 years in the minor leagues, and he finally was able to do it in the Texas League, and the Giants saw him throwing it, and they signed him, and he became a Giant. And next thing you know, he's one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and that will always go down as the greatest pitching performance, I think, in the All-Star game. And of course, you know, Marty, Van Lingle Mungo appeared in that game, probably most importantly of all. So,
I like it. 19th, and it was in the Polo Grounds. And look, the Giants won World Series against Washington in, what, 32. They got walloped by the Yankees in 36, 37. And Carl Hubble was the guy. He was the Marischal. He was, you know, the Jason Schmidt. He was the guy. And he's a great Hall of Famer and was part of the Giants for many years. And you're right. Every picture of him, when you look at his left arm, it looks like he's got a hanger in there or something. That's what he looks like.
Another thing I noticed is looking up that game, a player came into the game twice. Babe Herman pinch hit for Hubble in the third. And a few innings later, Frankie Frisch was really hurting. He sprained his foot. They really wanted to get him out of there. And Bill Terry requested that Babe Herman come back into the game and play second base, and they let him do it. So,
I like
what a
it.
Thing.
Oh, yeah. They can, yeah. Hey, 1984, at Candlestick, how about this? Fernando and Dwight Gooden fanned six in a row. Six straight. And that, I guess, went one past Hubble, but, of course, it was the two of them that did it.
Yeah, and I love the Fernando. He struck out Winfield, Reggie Jackson, and George Brett. I mean, you could just retire right then. But I remember that night. It was a typically bleak night at Candlestick. You knew the game, the All-Star game, would never come back there. you would kind of hope the Giants would never come back there. But it was just 2-1. Brett and Gary Carter homered early on, and it wound up 2-1 for the National League. And, you know, great talent in the dugouts. You know, Carew and Brett and Ripken and Jackson and Ozzie Smith and Tony Gwynn, they were all at Candlestick. It was great. You wanted a little more hitting, but it was a wacky thing about that game. The National League coaching staff was Sparky Anderson, Tony La Russa, and Chuck Tanner. There's another great one in Lasorda. And the manager was Paul Owens.
The Pope.
Paul Owens only managed 3 seasons in his life. He happened to manage the 83 team that went to the World Series, so he got the nod here. And that was the last year he ever managed. So another nutty thing from histories.
Well, I love it. And we'll talk more about the All-Star game tomorrow, the injuries in the All-Star game, the Dizzy Dean, that famous injury, the Ted Williams injury. The All-Star game has a great history and a great tradition. And even the league presidents used to make a speech to their respective ball clubs to go out and win one for the Gipper, you know. And it was pretty interesting the way they used to handle that. But, Bill, we'll wrap it up with this one. Dwight Gooden. You and I have not talked about Dwight Gooden. When you pitched, Dwight Gooden was there. What did you think of him?
Oh, Dwight was electric, especially in New York. The fans just came out to see him pitch. And, you know, we talk about curveballs. He had one of the best curveballs. But he always had that electric fastball. It always had that little extra life. And, you know, and the other thing, back in the All-Star game, Bruce and Marty, Chili Davis and Bob Brenly were both at that game.
Yeah.
So those were the Giants members. And, you know, Brenly was talking about that last week when Gary Carter hit the home run. He tripped over first base. And the whole place went under laughter. So, but going back to Dwight Gooden, he was everything. And I thought he was going to be an exceptional pitcher. And, of course, those died toward the end of his career.
Yep.
Yeah, he ran into some personal problems. But, my goodness, you know, he and Roger Clemens, you know, were – in fact, they started against each other in one All-Star game in the 80s. And that's about as good as you could possibly get, like, ever. Like, as you say, Bill, but Dwight Gooden was really, really special. Phenomenal stuff and just a great presence out there. And he's in New York with the Mets and awfully good while it lasted.
Boy, it's going to be interesting. All right, Bruce, have a great day. And, boy, I love the conversation. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, talk to you guys then. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is a great Bruce Jenkins. Boy, Bill, I'll tell you, the All-Star game, it's got a long history to it of back and forth, and it really meant something. Now it's fun, and, you know, you just want to get out of there without getting hurt.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marty. Players just want to play one inning. Pitchers just want to pitch one inning and get out. And, you know, back in the days when you and I watched it in the 70s and 80s, you know, guys wanted to play 3 innings. You heard Willie Mays go, I don't want to come out of the All-Star game. This is what I'm here for. And it was a different era of ball players, too, you know. And you mentioned about all the injuries and so many new replacements coming in. Of course, you know, teams don't want the players to go and get hurt there or push themselves as a pitch count. But it's still fun. It's still exciting. And, Coors Field is going to be electric.
Well, it's funny you said that because this will be the second game at Coors Field. The first one was 13-8. 13-8, yeah. The American League won. 13-8, Roberto Alomar was the MVP. I think it was Alomar. But the home plate umpire, who do you think it was?
Ed Montague.
You got it.
I knew that one.
Eddie Montague, the home plate umpire, the first game, first All-Star game at Coors. And here now, this is the second one. And 13-8, I think that'll be the score about by the third inning. Well, actually, with these pitchers, it's different. See, back in it's different. These guys will shut everybody down.
They should. They got a heck of a lineup going against them. But again, when you look on the pitching side, there's going to be some guys bringing it. And, you know, we talk about it. And Eno said it the best. You're only going to throw 30, 40 pitches, so air it out. And that's what you're probably going to see.
Boy, it's going to be fun. All right, more coming up. You've got a good guest coming up. Who do you have, Bill?
The San Francisco Giants farm director, Kyle Haynes, is going to join you and me, Marty, next. And we're going to talk about the minor leagues and so much movement between AAA and A-ball. And now rookie ball starting.
Beautiful. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.